Hello, and thanks for listening to NB Pod, brought to you by the NB Media Co-op. I'm David Gordon Koch, your local Journalism Initiative reporter. A migrant justice organizer from Minneapolis recently visited New Brunswick to speak about how people in his community have fought back against U.S. President Donald Trump's mass deportation campaign. Izar Cabrera from the Minnesota Immigrant Rights Action Committee spoke in Moncton and Fredericton about how people have built solidarity against Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, during the agency's brutal anti-immigrant crackdown. The events, which took place on May Day weekend, were organized by the Madhu Verma Migrant Justice Center, the Migrant Workers Alliance for Change, and the Socialist Project of Fredericton. Stay tuned to hear the full audio from his talk, which took place at the United Food and Commercial Workers Union Hall in Moncton.
As we heard, my name is Izar. I am part of an organization, a grassroots organization called MIREC, the Minnesota Immigrant Rights Action Committee. We are based in, obviously, Minneapolis, Minnesota, United States, and it's a great pleasure for me to be here. So as you may have heard in the news or saw in the news, in the past winter, we faced an invasion of our streets. The federal government sent around 3,000, 4,000 federal agents to enforce the immigration laws. And when we asked to our elected leaders for help, what they told us was, what they say to us or to the people was, well, they have bigger guns, you know. There's not much we can do. So we had to step up. We said, well, maybe they have bigger guns. We have lots of will, and we have each other, and we care about our neighbors. So what we did, we grabbed our cell phones, we grabbed our whistles, and we just took over the streets. We basically started organizing. We basically had to put together clandestine networks, training people about their own rights, about the immigrant rights, telling them you have rights regardless of your immigration status. We started sharing this information through workshops, churches, community centers, places like this, union halls, all kind of places. Whoever was willing to open the doors for us and let us share the information, share the message, we had to do it ourselves because our leaders were like, oh, sorry, we can help you. So what you saw on the news again, it was barely the surface of what actually happened. What you didn't see was how we had to create our own resistance. Like I said, we provided trainings for people, and then those trainings became, the people that took the trainings went out there into the streets and they started inviting other people to come to the trainings. And this, the same people that was taking the training started training other people, teaching them, oh, you know what, I learned about this during this training. So they started spreading the message by word of mouth. So then we also, we started seeing situations where ICE was, the people were going to the court appointments. People were going to the court appointments. They have legal cases. And when they were entering these appointments, we had to start teaching people on the spot, teaching them, you know what? They might take you today because what was happening, the prosecutors the persecutors decided to remove the procedure for the case, so they no longer have the protection of the case. So this would open the door for the ICE agents. They don't have the protection anymore of the case, so they would open the door for the ICE agents to just take them right outside of court. So what you had to do is teach these people right on the spot. Like I said, we would go to the courthouse and tell them, they might take you today or may not. You might not see your family anymore. You might want to write a number, an important number on your arm, and good luck. May God help you. This is also part of the resistance. It's not only, you might think about resistance about someone throwing a Molotov bomb, or maybe you think about someone setting something on fire, but it's also this. This is also part of the resistance. Like I said, a cell phone, taking pictures, video of everything that was happening. And like I said, the training is a very important thing, that we were sharing information with people. On top of that, not only it was the court hearings, we started seeing them going into the hospitals too. They were trying to get people who was going for healthcare, whatever appointment they had, they started getting into the hospitals. So the workers, the nurses and doctors, they also came up together and they said, this is not okay. This is not normal. You're not supposed to, they are supposed, we're trying to take care of people, of the life of these people. We're trying to take care of their health. this is not normal. This shouldn't be happening. So they organized too, like we shared the training with the doctors and nurses and the union of the workers working in hospitals, like the cleaners and everything. So we taught them, like, you can, the things that you can do and you cannot do, like creating a human chain so you don't let the ICE agents into the hospital, or trying to, when there was a case where they had to move the patient from one room to another, but they covered their face, and while the nurse was distracting the ICE agent, they took the patient into a different room through the elevator that was only for employees, and they were able to hide it from immigration. So creativity was part of the game. Basically, we had to become creative if we really wanted to help people. Yeah, like I said, we also shared information. We had these red cards. We called them the red cards. Basically what ICE was doing was saying, well, if you're brown, you're going down, no matter what. So we applied the same principle, but backwards. If you're brown, I'm gonna share this information with you. I'm gonna share your rights. You have information you need to know. So we were sharing this information that was telling them, I do not wish to speak with you, answer your questions, or sign or hand you any documents based on my Fifth Amendment. I do not give you permission to enter my home based on my Fourth Amendment. I do not give you permission to search any of my belongings based on my Fourth Amendment. I choose to exercise my constitutional rights. We have this in multiple languages. It was English, Spanish, Hmong, Somali, Arabic. And we basically had to train people, because sometimes the ICE agents would take them and they would tell them, they had all kind of tactics. It was very, very bad. But we had to adapt every day, like constantly communicating with other organizations. And they were saying, okay, this is what is happening now. Another thing that happened was the people were being detained by ICE, and they were saying, well, we're going to take you, but if you sign this document, it says you can come back into the country again. Don't worry, it's fine. But people didn't know how to read or they didn't know the language. They would sign it. It was their own self-deportation documents. That's why they had to tell them, do not sign anything. Do not sign anything with a lawyer with you. You have the right to a lawyer. So the tactics they were using were absolutely horrible. And like I said, we had to adapt every day, constantly. But I can give you another example. Another way that we were identifying the ICE agents were the cars. The cars were basically rental cars. We were able to identify it was going to be a rental car with no ID saying ICE or federal vehicle, whatever. They didn't have any of those kind of stuff. It was just a SUV with a blackout windows and rental plates. So what we came up with was a database, a spreadsheet, basically, where we would have put like the name of the number of the plate, and we would ask on the chats. We also created this chat on Signal. We didn't use WhatsApp because WhatsApp, it's owned by Meta, and Meta shares the information with other companies. So they sell the information actually to other companies. So what we use was Signal, which is a little more encoded. It's safer for this kind of situations. We want privacy. So we also did that where we would send a message to someone on the chat, because we also created these chats, the neighborhoods. Basically, the neighbors organize each other. The people that took the training eventually organized other people, and they created these neighborhoods chats where they would check for plates. They would see a car and they would say, can you check this plate for me? And then someone would access the spreadsheet. It would say, okay, it's a confirmed ICE agent or not confirmed or whatever. And based on that respond, we would have neighbors respond or send a message to other neighborhoods or other organizations. And we would have to respond and try to be there as soon as possible or send people as soon as possible and try to make as obnoxiously loud as we could and just to be incredibly annoying to them, trying to come up with all sort of tactics to try to avoid them taking people, basically. That was among other things that we learned. We also learned that we had to go to businesses because they were not going, like I said, they were not just going for the courthouse, to churches, to hospitals. They also were going to houses of the people and or businesses too. And what we had to do with people was to teach the business owners. We came up with this, what we call a toolkit, where we would give them resources and then show you an example. So for security purposes, I couldn't bring the actual toolkit on my luggage, but this was one example that we were giving to the business owners. Like, this legally, they're not supposed to enter a place without a warrant. And if they enter the place, you can have a private space. That was perfectly identified. It says private property, no eyes allowed. So we had to teach the business owners, if you have people, your staff, maybe it's a risk, it's vulnerable people, what you can do is create this private space within your business, and if they show up and they enter your business, you can bring them into that room lock that door, and there's no way they can get in unless they have a warrant. It has to be signed by a judge, and it has to be a warrant from the court, not an administrative warrant, which is a big difference. There's more people coming. Welcome. We call this kind of actions the barrio walks. Barrio means neighborhood. So we were going around the neighborhoods and trying to target the businesses, specifically immigrant business owned or people who had staff that were immigrants and they could be vulnerable. And we shared this information with them. We also share our phone numbers, our contact information, so in case they would see something, someone that was suspicious, they could call us. They could say, hey, someone is here and I think they're ICE agents. So we would have, like I said, we would ask for certain information. What kind of gear do they have? What kind of vehicle do they have? What are the plates? Once we check this information, we confirm it's someone from ICE, we would send people over. And again, we would try to become as loudly, obnoxiously loud and as possible. And we try to make their life as hard as possible, being honest. Like, we were trying to be as speaking of being loud, we tried to become a real pain in their ass. Bands, like music bands, organized themselves, and they found where the ICE agents were staying at night in their hotels, and they would play loud music outside their hotels, like basically throw a party right outside their hotels all night long, just trying to become as loud and obnoxious as possible. Like, we don't want you here, you're not welcome here. That is also part of the resistance. Like I said, you don't have to be violent or to set things on fire to be part of the resistance. All you have to do is be creative. What can I do? How can I get involved? Speaking of getting involved, the people got so afraid of going outside, they were afraid of going to work, going to church, going to hospitals. So it became impossible for them to even go to buy groceries. So what they did, or what we did, the neighbors and organizations, was to organize ourselves and come up with a plan for delivering groceries. We would come up with this packages, and we would ask the neighbors who needs some help. What do you need? What are your needs? How are you? So we had to start delivering the food. I actually did it myself. And that was another way that we also helped our neighbors, like just by delivering food, like basic stuff, rice, beans, chicken, fruits, just basic stuff that it was less like $50 per week or something like that. But because they didn't have any money or they didn't have any resources, or we were so afraid of going outside, like literally they would be so afraid of going outside that I had to go and deliver the food on their step door, call them and say, the food is outside. They would not come outside to open the door to pick it up while I was there, because they were so afraid that it was an ICE agent. Another thing that we saw, very heartwarming for me, I'm a school bus driver. And I work with kids. And during my route, I had the experience, the interaction with several parents who would tell me, because they knew what I would speak Spanish. I know them, and they would tell me, please, I'm gonna go to work now. If I don't see my kids anymore, sorry, get a little sentimental when I speak about this, because I remember their faces, and they're telling me, I might not be coming back, and I might not see my kids anymore. Please make sure they come back home, and I love them. Tell them that I love them. In response to that, a lot of the teachers, they came up with this idea to create patrols around during the drop-offs and pickups of the students. They organized to have parents or their own teachers, their own staff, to be sitting outside of or walking outside the school in case there was ICE agents, because they also took students from schools or parents that were picking up, that were dropping off kids at a school. I don't know if you heard about Liam Conejo Ramos, the blue bunny hat boy. That was the situation that happened. He was being dropped off from school or picked up from school, and that's when they got his dad, basically. So there was no limits for that, what they were doing. Like I said, it was churches, hospitals, schools, whatever. It was everything, everywhere, anywhere, even pets. Like, we had to also develop groups that would be willing to take care of the pets, because the owners were taken by ICE, cats, dogs, chickens, you name it. So we came up with a solution for that too, like bring them to a shelter or pick, go and feed them on fostering them or whatever. We had to take care of that. Another option, another solution that the businesses, the own businesses, also came up with, because there were situations where the ICE agents were kidnapping people at a stop sign, for example. They would open the doors, they would take them out and leave the car running, doors open, keys in the car running, and just take off. It just in the middle of the street. So what the business owners of certain people decided to take action about that, and they said, you know what, I own a towing company. I'm willing to tow this place, to this, take this car for free. If I knew this, it was taken, the person, the owner was taken by ICE, I'm more than willing to do it for free. So we had to also give that resource to the families of the people taken by ICE, where they would, like I said, they were being taken at a stop sign, for example, or sometimes at the courthouse, they didn't come out anymore. So the car was sitting there in the parking lot. So we came up with that solution too. Like, we gave the contact of these companies saying, I'll do it for free. But we also celebrated our victories. We organized when Kristi Noem was the Secretary of Homeland Security, basically the chief of the director of DHS, the director of ICE. When she got fired, we threw a big ass party outside of the courthouse, the federal building. And that was awesome. That was really, really fun. To know that we contributed to her firing, because we demonstrated that the incompetence of the people and the violations of the human rights they were doing. Like you saw it, probably you saw it about Renee Good and Alex Pretty, but you maybe didn't hear about some other names. Like Nurul Amin Shah Alam, that was, he was a I think as far as I remember, he was a refugee. He had a legal case, and he was picked up by ICE, and unfortunately, when they check his status, they let him go. It's like, okay, you can go. But instead of returning him where they picked him up, they just let him outside in the middle of the winter, and he didn't speak the language, and he required medicine. He had a condition. He didn't speak the language. He was away from home, and he just let him die out in the city alone. Also, Daffy Mitchell was another victim of ICE that also was kidnapped from by ICE, and then they drove her away to an hour away from her town. They dropped her off once they checked her status on the way there, an hour away from her house. They just dropped her off at a bus station, and she was also found dead in the middle of the winter because she had a mental condition, and her family didn't know where she was, and the agents did not contact her family. They just took her away, checked her status, okay, you're good to go, just an hour away from her house without any resources or contact their family at all. But again, we are trying to demand justice for all these people that you may have heard about it. We are fighting for the names to be heard, for their stories to be told, and we're constantly organizing. We're constantly fighting. We're constantly remembering that we have each other, that what we went through is not normal, that the parallels that we have currently, the Germany 1930s and the USA 2026, the parallels are too close right now. And it is not okay to stay silent. It is necessary to say something. It is necessary to speak up, to do something, to get involved in some way. Like I said, you don't have to throw a bomb or set something on fire to be part of the resistance. You can get involved in an organization. You can. One of the most important things that I learned during this and during the raid was the best way to organize is get to know your neighbors, talk to them, see who they are, what do they do, what church do they go. But I want you to understand something, that this thing that happened is not new. It has been happening for decades, has been happening with every single administration. You just saw it recently on the news. You just saw it flagrantly in the media, but this has been happening over and over again for decades. The immigration system, it works perfectly the way it's supposed to work. The immigration system, it's based on racism, and it works the way it's supposed to work. Now, Mr. Donald Trump is just the honest face of the imperialism. We're just seeing it now. people are just realizing that, but this has been happening for years and years. We just didn't know it. They just didn't know it. So one thing that I want you, if there's one thing that you can remember from this talk today, just remember that immigrant rights are workers' rights, and workers' rights are human rights. Thank you.